First Samuel 13, and want to look kind of at the remaining life of Saul and his prayer life. And we see what happened that after the people chose Saul, that Samuel hearkened unto their voice. He accepted their decision. And he essentially steps back from being the leader over the people. And now he serves as kind of a mentor, as an encourager, as a helper to Saul. At least that's what he tries to do with him, that he's kind of a confidant to him, someone that can help. And of course, Saul is the king, but Samuel is the prophet. He's serving in the sense as a priest in the same way. And so he still had the essentially the spiritual leadership of the nation, that he was the one that was to perform the sacrifices. Saul was not permitted to do that. But we find what happens in 1 Samuel 13 that Saul was waiting for Samuel. Samuel was delayed in coming, and so then Saul decided, I'll just offer the burnt offering, which was not permitted for him as king. And we see what Samuel says, "What hast thou done?" And Saul, of course, gives his reasons. Not good reason. Samuel said to Saul, verse 13, "Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And so we see Saul is starting to make some different errors in judgment, showing his rashness, showing his pride. And we see in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel comes to him again. He's got a message from the Lord, and the Lord says, "He remembers what Amalek did to Israel on their coming out of Egypt, and so Saul now is to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. He's to leave nothing remaining." And Saul, of course, did not obey. He destroyed most everything, but he saved the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings and the lambs. He kept Agag the king alive. But He did not fulfill the commandment of the Lord. Now we see verse 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." And we see this with Samuel, that even though in what is to come that it seems that he's kind of harsh, we see how sad he is for Saul. Like, in a lot of ways, Samuel was Saul's biggest backer. He wanted to see Saul succeed. He didn't want to see him fail. But Saul made some poor choices. And so you can just think of it that he stepped down and Saul is in place and he's the king and he wants him to do well. But then you see, even for the sake of Saul, for the sake of the nation, he's sorrowful, and he cried unto the Lord all night. That we think of it in kind of several different ways. We can think of it, that he cried unto the Lord all night, in terms of him praying unto the Lord, maybe interceding on behalf of Saul, but literally as well, the thought that he cried unto the Lord all night, that he was sorrowful, that he wept for Saul. He asked the Lord to be merciful, that it was a sorrowful thing. So then he arises, he meets Saul in the morning. Saul tries to say that he's done what the Lord commanded him, and of course he had not. And he said that you haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord. In verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice in the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken in the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And so we see the decree he gives on behalf of the Lord to Saul, and its principles that we do well to learn from, how much the Lord wants just simple obedience. When we're stubborn, that it's to God, it's the same as if we are worshiping idols. If we rebel against him, it's the same as if we commit witchcraft before him. And so we recognize that we need to be holy unto the Lord, and to obey him, because he is our master, our king, our creator. And so we see what happened, that he leaves Saul and he hews Agag in pieces. And we see verse 35, it says, and Samuel came more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. The Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And then we see, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? And there's quite a lot of time encompassed in that word "and." We would think that it's basically kind of happens the next day sort of thing, but we actually understand from the timing of it that it's essentially, they think it might be as much as 14 years passed between 1 Samuel 15:35 and 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. And so you think of that, his compassion, his heart, that he mourned for Saul. In many ways would seem still interceding and hoping that the Lord might change his mind, might turn back and be merciful. But the Lord says, no, it's time to not mourn for him anymore. I need you to anoint the next king. And so he's sent to Jesse, and we find how sad it is that he was Saul's friend, his confidant, his biggest ally. But at this point that he's afraid that Saul would kill him if he finds out that he's going to anoint the next king. And so Saul's certainly gone a far away from where he used to be. And so he goes down and he views the sons of Jesse. He thinks that the oldest must be the Lord's anointed. But the Lord showed him. He says, no, look, verse 7, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And we see with Samuel that he obeyed the Lord. He went as he was asked. And he also, he was close enough to the Lord that he could be sensitive that the Lord would show him, even though he thought that this must be the person, that the Lord made it clear, no, it wasn't. He had that insight, that discernment that was given him from the Lord. And the Lord made it clear to him that it was not all of these ones that were before him. And it was the lad David who was out watching the sheep. And the Lord made it very clear, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And so Samuel obeyed, anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so we see this is more or less the last we really see of Samuel. We see a few glimpses of him through the chapters. As David is fleeing from Saul, he meets with Samuel for a short time. Not much is said of their meeting. And we find that of course he dies, and they all come to mourn him. And we find he's one of the few that came back from the grave. And it's interesting to see with Saul that the situation that he was in, that the Lord was not speaking to him because he hadn't been obeying the Lord, and so the Lord was ceasing to give him any direction. And we see that he actually goes to a witch to have him bring up Samuel, and of course the witch was probably figuring she'd just bring up some spirit that would look like Samuel, but God seems to have surprised her and brought up the real person. And it's just something you think of it with Saul, that he knew that Samuel was his friend, that he wanted Samuel, even though he'd done wrong to Samuel and other things, that he knew Samuel was his friend. He wanted to help. He wanted to hear from someone that he knew was his friend, that he even to call him back from the grave. But of course we see Samuel didn't have much good to tell him, that he was soon going to be with him. But it's something that we see with Samuel, that he was, throughout his life, he was a man of prayer, a man of compassion, a man who had great power in prayer. And he had a life that had few regrets, that he did what the Lord had him to do quite simply, and he made a great difference in his time here on earth. And we can learn much from him.